Morning, everyone. How do you do? Nice to see you. Thank you very much. I say that from my heart. Did you have a good night?
Yes, sir.
Did you go to bed on time?
Yes, sir.
Who did not? Come on, put up your guilty hands. Okay, all right. Okay. Well, we all make mistakes. Don't worry. I had a good night. I woke up at 2:30, prayed a little bit, went back to sleep, woke up at about 5. So I thank God for life. Okay, it's good to see you. It really is. And I look forward to this presentation. I hope God will put his words in my mouth as I speak based on Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, which says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." So I want my words, God's words in my mouth, not my words. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1, we're talking about the law again. We began yesterday, and remember, every presentation during this morning series is to present subjects that never change, no matter what you study. Once you understand that, it will guide you so you don't go astray. There are some things in the Bible that never change. Christ is divine, that never changes no matter what you study. The Word of God is divine, that never changes. So we're talking about the law of God. The law of God is reflects His character, reflects His righteousness, that never changes. The law of God is eternal, that never changes. The law of God is always required, that never changes. Genesis 1, let's read verse 3. All right, Joshua, I think I saw your hand. All right, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And we found out that Christ was the one who said, "Let there be light." He was the central figure of creation. When God said, "Let there be light," what was that? Ah, who said that? Who? What's your name? Jacob. Who was Jacob's wife in the Bible? Well, the one God recognized. Rachel. Rebecca was Isaac's wife. It's okay. They're all related. It's okay. No problem, Brother Jacob. All right. What was Jacob's name changed to? What does Israel mean? Overcomer. Uh-huh. Jacob is supplanter or deceiver. Okay. Genesis 1:3, and God said, "Let there be light." And my question was, what was that? And Jacob correctly said, that was a command. Now, you've got to keep this. It's very essential that you understand that when you read, "Let there be," those were commands. But let's go to the Bible and find that out. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read verse 6. Someone on this side read now. 2 Corinthians 4, we shall read verse 6. We're looking at the law again. Where's my timekeeper? She was right here. Where did she go? Oh, what time is it? And what's your name? Natalie, Sister Natalie. All right. Who's reading for me? Yes, sister. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. That's fine. The God who did what? Commanded the light to shine out of darkness. When God said, "Let there be light," understand me clearly, that was a command. Creation was by what? Command. Well, yes, God, but whose command? God's command. It was brought into existence by command. Now, let's see that again in the Bible. Let's go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33, and I really, really want you to follow me. This is very important. Verse 3 and verse 9. Who said, "Let there be light"? Which member of the Godhead? Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's keep Christ, his name Jesus. When Jesus said, "Let there be light," Jesus gave a command. All right, Jacob, read for me Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 6. Mm-hmm. Verse 9. Who spake? Who? Be specific. Jesus. Okay, Jesus spake, and what happened? And who commanded? So Jesus created by command. Let's go to Isaiah 45. We'll read verse 12. Someone in the back. On any side. Yes, tell me your name. Nathan. Okay, Nathan. Yes, well, there are two Nathans. Three Nathans. Okay. Isaiah 45, verse 12. Yes. Nice and loud, Nathan. Who is speaking? Thank you very much, Jesus. I have made the earth and created man upon it. Go on. All the hosts have I commanded. In other words, the hosts of heavens were made by God's command. Let's see that elsewhere expressed. Psalm 148, reading verses 1, 2, and 3. Someone way in the back on this side. Psalm 148, verses 1, 2, and 3. Not 1, 2, and 3, 1, 2, and 5. Your name is? Yes, Sister Lexi, read for us. Verses 1, 2, and 5 of Psalm 148. Praise ye him, all his angels. Skip to verse 5. Praise the name of the Lord, for he, yes. By the way, the angels, you know, Adam and Eve were made from dirt. The angels were just called into existence. God didn't get dirt. They were just called. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 38, paragraph 3, Ellen White writes, Christ was a son of God. He had been one with him before the angels were called into existence. You get what I just said? They were just called into existence. When God made Adam and Eve, it was the use of dirt. The angels just came out of nothing, out of nowhere. He just called them. But they were made by what? Command. Command of whom? Jesus, yes. Let's see. Jesus, but we'll put Jesus first. Let's get this thing in order. Jesus, what should go down here? Created by command. All right. Okay, command. We've seen that in several places. Now, so creation is by command. But let's go to Hebrews 1. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, reading verse 5. And that verse is clearer. Then we'll come to Hebrews. 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll read verse 5 to 7. And someone with the King James Version read for me, not the new or the newish, the King James Version, the old fella. 2 Peter chapter 3. All right. I say, reading verse 5. Sorry. Stop. Are you willingly ignorant of anything? What do I mean by that? Have you ever said, don't tell me? Have you ever said that? I don't want to know. Now that is anti-God. Unless you're saying, I don't want to know sin. Fine. When it comes to God's word, you must always want to know. Never say, I don't want to know. Don't tell me about the Sabbath because I'll have to keep it. Don't do that. When it comes to God's word, which is God's will, always want to know. If you understand what I just said, say amen. Read, my good brother. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the... And what is God's word in creation? Come on, you're slow. What is God's word in creation? A command. So by the word of the Lord, or the command of the Lord, go on.
The heavens were up old.
Yes. I forget verse 6. Go to verse 7.
By the heavens and the earth.
But. Which are now by that. Or by thy same what? Or by that same what?
Command.
Yes, think, reason. Or by the same command. Go on. Stop. Now, if they're created by command and they're kept by the same command, creation, which is by Jesus, then when God creates something, what does he have to do? Sustain it. So here again, we go back. I have a second column. We have Jesus. What goes under here? Yes, come on, think. What goes under here? Sustains. How? By command. Now my handwriting is like a spider that walked through ink, but forgive me. Jesus creates by command, and the same command that that creates is the same command that sustains. And so 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, 6 says, but the heavens and the earth which are now by that same word. If anyone confused, let me know now. Let me clear it up or try. In other words, the word that said, let there be light, also says, let the light keep shining. Tell me you understand. Who's lost? All right. It's important. Who's lost? Okay. You'll realize why this is so vitally important. Who commands? Jesus. Who sustains? Who creates? How? Who sustains? How? So the whole universe runs how? By command. Whose command? Jesus. Now, we had how many days of creation? Who says? 6 days. Where is six? 6 days of creation. And the moment something was created, it began to be sustained. Because if it's not sustained for one moment, it collapses. Everything is that the moment it came into existence, it began to be sustained by the same power that created it. Command creates, command sustains. Now, what was the last thing God made on the week of, on the 6 days of creation? Man and humanity. Follow me closely. Don't sleep, don't talk, don't go into a coma. Listen carefully. When Adam and Eve opened their eyes, what did they see? Okay, let's say Jesus. Fine, that's a good place to start and end. All right, what else did they see? They saw creation. Give me examples. They saw birds and heard them. They saw the sky. What day was the sky made? Second day. What else did they see? They saw the sun. What day was it made? Fourth day. What else did they see? The trees. What day? Third day. Go on. What else did they see? The stars. What day? Fourth. Come on. What else did they see? Did they see each other? When were they made? 6 days. All right. They found themselves living in a what? A paradise. Give me another word. A garden. Give me another word for a larger place. A world created by what? Whose command? And sustained by what? Yes. Now follow me closely. Jesus set up a system that came into existence by what? That came into existence by what? And that continues to run by what? Now, he set the system up. Then he brought Adam and Eve and he put them into what system? A system based on what? What's a shorter word for command? Ah, law. Mm-hmm. Are you listening to me? You don't look so. All right. Too early in the morning to fight. Okay. This is very serious because most churches preach there's no law. No law means no command. Are you following me? Let me repeat, and may God help me. Christ put humanity in a system in which they had no contribution. They had to fit in or get out. And what was that system? Everything ran by command. Listen to these words from Ellen White. Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 48, paragraph 1. You may write the reference down. Listen carefully. Powerful statement. Everything in nature, from the mote in the sunbeam to the worlds on high, is under law. What is a mote in the sunbeam? Who's talking? Come on, don't be afraid. What do you say? Yes, have you ever seen little things floating in the sunlight in your room? Each little thing is a mote. Does it exist? Then it's under what? Yes. Never hesitate. Just follow my reasoning. If it exists, it's under law. And so God's prophet to his last day church says, everything in nature, from the mote in the sunbeam to the worlds on high, is under law. And upon obedience to these laws, the order and harmony of the natural world depends. So there are great principles of righteousness to control the life of all created beings, intelligent beings. And upon conformity to these principles, the welfare of the universe depends. So she splits the universe into the physical and the moral, and both are run by law. Let me say something else. Don't. Listen. How many of you have done physics? Just basic physics, chemistry. Okay. What are you standing on or sitting on? What's the chair resting on? Is the ground solid, liquid, or gas? Solid. What are you breathing in? What's that? Gas, okay. What's flowing through your vascular system? Yes. So you and I are made up of what? Solid, liquid, and gas. Mm-hmm. Oxygen goes to every cell, and carbon dioxide comes out. It's constant. You and I are made up of solid, liquid, and gas. Now, are there laws that govern the way solids behave? Yes or no? Yes. Give me another word for laws. Commands. Who set up those laws? Jesus. When? At creation. Are there laws that govern the way liquids behave? The way gases behave? When you heat a gas, what does it do? It expands. When you reduce or remove the energy or the heat, it contracts. These are laws. The universe is made up of what? Give me one word. It's controlled by laws, but made up of what? Matter. Matter is divided into solid, liquid, and gas, which means the whole universe is run by, because all of matter obeys laws. Are you listening to me? Are we matter? Therefore, we are either solid, liquid, or gas, but we're all three, which means at the physical level, we are under law. There's a law that says the air moves from high pressure to low pressure. Are you with me? Now, that applies in your lungs when oxygen has to move from the lungs to the blood and carbon dioxide from the blood to the lungs. That law has to apply, or you and I would die. We are alive because of law. Not law independent of God. God controls the laws. But there are agents or servants he uses to do whatever he wants. Let me say it again. We are solid, liquid, and gas. Physically, we run by law. But when God made the firmament, he said, let there be a firmament. When he made the grass, he said, let the earth bring forth grass. When he made the sun, moon, and stars, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. When he made the living creatures, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life. When he came to us, he said, let us make man in our image. So there's something different between us and the rest of creation. The rest of creation is entirely physical. We are physical and what else? Spiritual. Is this too heavy for you? Say yes or no. Are you following me? Okay. Now, as you study your science, you probably heard your science teacher say that gases behave a certain way. Have you ever heard that word? Behave. We're dealing with behavior. When a gas expands, it's behaving. When you freeze almost anything except water, at a certain point, water shrinks. But after it gets to a certain degree, it starts to expand, which is why ice floats in the sea. Or laws. Solids behave, liquids behave, gases behave. We are solid, liquid, gas, we behave the same way. But at the spiritual level, we also behave. But at the spiritual level, are we affected by the physical laws? What laws guide our behavior at the spiritual level? Think, think, because all behavior has to be guided by law. The physical, the solid, the liquid, and the gas, they all are guided by law now. But we are more than physical, we are spiritual. There must be laws that guide spiritual behavior. What are those laws called? The Ten Commandments. Because all behavior must be guided by law. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 49, paragraph 1. Listen to this powerful statement. You listening? God placed man under law as an indispensable condition of his very existence. Now, the times you read Ellen White's writings, and you know, it wasn't the secretary that wrote that with her approval. She wrote that. She chose those words. I mean, either way, they're her words, but you get the sense she physically, as Paul said, you see how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand, not my secretary. These are my words. I wrote them myself physically. Listen again. God placed man under law. Who placed man under law? Who? The Creator. Now listen to these words and define them for me as an indispensable condition. What is indispensable? Say that. Can't do without. What's the condition? Huh? A condition of his existence. What's a condition in that context? A requirement. Without which something else can't happen. Now listen. God placed man under law as an indispensable, the only way to live and exist is by law. Now, she's making the difference between existence and life. Are you living now? Yes or no? Are you also existing? If you die, are you still living? But as a corpse, are you existing? Yes. Listen to the words again. I don't mean to strain you mentally, but you're smart enough. God placed man under law as an indispensable condition of his very existence. Just to exist, dead or alive, you must be under law. Have you ever seen a car that's rusty? You know there are laws that govern rust? All the yeses came from this side. Fellas, you work on cars. Do you know there are laws that govern rust? There are certain processes that take place that result in rust. Everything in nature is under law. Okay, Brother Joshua, be cool. Any questions for me before I go any further? I don't want to give you a headache. Any questions for me? Timekeeper, Natalie, you said, what's her name? Natalie, what's the time? Because I went too far yesterday and sorry about that. Ask me a question at this point. Ask me a question. Were you confused? Ask me a question. I don't believe in taking up all the time. I just believe in making a point and then letting you go. Any question? All right, let's review. Tell me what you remember. You must remember something. Christ created by command. What verses did we use to prove that? We used about four of them. Psalm 33:9. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Isaiah 45:12. Psalm 148, verse 5. Command. Yes. The command that creates is the command that sustains. Everything that exists is under law. Yes, yes, yes. The command of Jesus Christ sustains. The very command that creates sustains. Christ doesn't have two different words of power. It's the same word. The power that justifies you is the power that sanctifies you. Christ doesn't have three different kinds of power and righteousness. Yes, Nathan. We are solid, liquid, and gas at a physical level, yes. Laws exist. Yes, whether you're dead or alive, you're under law. All behavior must be guided by law. Then if you keep this in mind, the entire universe was created to run by law. Do you understand now why sin is a transgression of the law? Because so that when you sin, you go against what? The whole of creation. Are you with me? When you sin, when I sin, I go against all of creation. I go against the system Christ set up. And I put myself out of harmony with the whole universe. That's why Christ has to get rid of sin. Because sin, as long as it exists, is a threat to the system he set up. Someone sent me an email this morning. He said, Pastor, pray for this lady. She's sick. Her husband and children need her. Sometimes when you counsel people biblically, you say some very hard things. I wrote back and said, my brother, I understand, but I can't pray for her healing because her husband and children need her. What's the number one reason for her healing? The only reason? The glory of God. And if there's no glory in it for God, it won't be done. I also told him, sickness is the result of sin. Whether her sin or someone else's sin, all sickness. And so the number one place to begin when a person is sick is not, Lord, heal him, but examine your life. Is there something in your life that's going contrary to God's system? Are you listening to me? Sickness is the result of sin. The place to start is with sin. Ellen White writes in Mind, Character, and Personality, Volume 1, page 34, paragraph 3, let the mind become intelligent and the will be placed on the Lord's side, and there will be a wonderful improvement in the physical health. Wake him up. Wake him up. Ah, wake up. All right. That's a sign for me to stop. What else do you remember? Nathan. Where's Nathan? Oh, sorry, Delano. Okay, Brother Delano. Yes. The world is basically, superficially, essentially, internally, externally run by law. Anyone else? Angels were called into existence. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 38, paragraph 3. Psalm 148, verse 5. Yes. We were made from dirt, yes. Oh, okay, just stretching. All right. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They shouted for joy. And the other unfallen worlds. Let me just leave this with you, then I'll let you go so you can think of what you've heard. God created us and put us in a system based on law. And we function best in that system when we live in harmony with God's law. Not just the Ten Commandments, but the physical laws as well. And the Ten Commandments are the basis of all law. Let me say it again. We live best when we live how? In harmony with God's law, because we have been placed in a system that came by law and is maintained by law. To live any other way is to threaten that system. Sin is an invasive species. What's that? What's an invasive species? A species not natural to that ecosystem and will cause ruin. You know, there are about 2 million pigs in Texas, and pig hunting is a big thing, but they were introduced, they caused tremendous damage. No matter how much the hunters shoot them, they just can't get rid of them. That's an invasive species. There's a fish moving up the Mississippi River, and the government is trying to prevent it from getting into the Great Lakes. It jumps out of the water and jumps into your boat. It's from some other place, some Asian carp or Asian pike or something. It's an invasive species. I think rabbits in Australia is an invasive. They're brought in. You know, you go to a place, I think Guam, or a snake was brought to Guam or something to kill one thing. It ended up killing something else. Sin came into this system, an invasive species, and is causing damage. And God has to get rid of it. And in getting rid of it, if he finds it in you, he'll get rid of you too. But he sent Christ, that through Christ he may get it out of you, so that he can just destroy the system and remake it. But if he finds the sin in us, he'll get rid of us and the sin. But through Christ, we can be free of the sin, so he only destroys this old system, and then he makes it brand new. Thank you for that, amen. How many of you will say with me, Lord, help me to live in harmony with your law, please. Can I see your right? Help me, I mean that from my heart, with your law. That's what Jesus wants. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, give us a heart that loves your law, because to love the law is to love Jesus. Bless all my brothers and sisters. Bless all the activities today. Bless us, God, I really pray from my heart. Not only us, but young people everywhere seeking to do your will. Bless them, give them power to live Christ-like lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all God's people say, amen and amen. Thank you very much. God bless you.